Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This is a special segment on this program, and it's going to be for the entirety of the hour, because we have the opportunity and the honor to speak with two men, two Israeli men, who with five of their fellow residents of a kibbutz by the name of Rhyme, which was attacked by dozens of Hamas terrorists on the 7th of October, fought off these terrorists. Now, as I've been telling you, the kibbutz lost civilians to murder and kidnapping. And I've seen video this morning, and I watched it several times, of a heavy, what appears to be steel gate, just opening as though somebody had the controls. And clearly somebody did have the controls. And waiting to come in were pickup trucks filled with Hamas terrorists with RPGs and automatic weapons. And they were there to commit murder, to commit rape, and to kidnap. And seven men stood up to them. And two of these men join us now on The Roy Green Show, Ilan Cohen and Harel Oren. Mr. Cohen, Mr. Oren, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for hosting us in your program.
Thank you.
You are incredibly brave, and I have tremendous respect for you and the other five men who stood to defend your community. Can you tell us a bit about the kibbutz, about Rhyme? How large is it? How many residents? Tell us a bit about it, please.
Look, kibbutz Re'im first. Kibbutz Re'im means Re'im. Re'im in Hebrew, it's a bunch of close people, like friends, okay? Mm-hmm. In kibbutz Re'im, we have 430 people living in. Kibbutz is a way of life of sharing and being together, and all the we live by each other in a community and support each other. This is the idea of the kibbutz.
So it's a very closely knit group of people who live together in the community.
Yeah, kibbutz, it's like a huge family that we all working for the same idea. We support each other like a big family. This is the idea of the kibbutz.
Mm-hmm. How close?
It's agriculture, living way.
On the day of the 7th in October, we actually locked our wives and kids in the warriors. We locked our wife and kids inside the shelter and went to protect the kibbutz. Mm-hmm. Went to protect the most. We was very worried about our family, but it was important to go there and to stand against this terrorist.
Can you tell us, please, how did the day begin before the horror started? How did the morning of October the 7th begin? What would your plans have been for the day?
It was 6:30 morning. We wake up to the noise of the launching missile all over Israel. It is morning of Saturday after, in the middle of holiday, which is the end of reading the Torah, and we are supposed to celebrate this day. It's an holiday in Israel, and we wake up to the noise of the missiles launching all over. And then the siren that informs us that we are under attack. I understand immediately that they launch missiles all over. This is kind of destruction for invasion. This is what we understand in the first beginning of 6:30 in the morning, October the 7th.
So
I have to say that my plans were to take my bicycle and go and ride in our beautiful area, which is now pretty dry, but it's a good weather to ride a bike outside the country.
Yeah. And so it was going to be a normal day. It was going to be a good day for you, one you were going to enjoy before the horror began at 6:30. Now, I understand that you had a bit of a warning for the kibbutz that things were not good before the Hamas terrorist gunman arrived. Somebody had heard gunshots, and that gave you a little bit of a warning. Is that correct?
Yeah. In our kibbutz, a member called me, and she told me that her brother's family drove from our kibbutz to the next kibbutz, and they have been shot by terrorist troop. It's not normal. We never expect that the terrorist will cross the fence, and it was, you know, it's supposed to be a very huge fence, unpenetrated fence, and they've been shot, they injured, and we are in a new horrible day to wake up. Citizen and under attack.
Yeah.
There is another thing. The shooting happened simultaneously with the bombing and the laundering. That was the cue for them to go inside Israel, like breaking through into Israel through the fence.
So I saw this video, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, and I've said it a few times today. I saw the video of Hamas arriving in the pickup trucks. They had a whole bunch of pickup trucks, and they had several, or five or six men on each truck. They had RPGs. They had automatic weapons, and they seemed quite relaxed. They weren't rushing to get into the truck and get going, and they managed it. And clearly, the gate swung open. The gate slid open to your kibbutz. How did they defeat the security system? Do you know?
Yeah, I will correct you. Each pickup, they were between 5 to 10 terrorists. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now they arrived to the kibbutz and they knew where is the bottom to press on to open the gate. It's unfortunately, there are people that commit to humanitarian and to have a good living, and we support them. We used to bring them to work in our place, in our houses. In this case, they collect intelligence, information. They know exactly how to penetrate the kibbutz without making any noise, like they are part of the kibbutz. And this information went from the Palestinian workers to the Hamas terrorists.
And that's how they got in.
Yeah.
And more than that, it's not just that they knew how to come in. They had maps with all the houses of the kibbutz. They knew where lives. They knew to come to my house to find the head of the first response squad. And they was looking for us. There was a tent to finish me or to kill me first, and then they will have all the time in the world to kill the rest of the kibbutz.
So why did they want to kill you first?
Again, sorry?
Why did they want to kill your colleague, your friend first?
Because we are carrying a rifle. And we are the force that is supposed to fight with them until the army arriving.
Okay.
In this case, they know that if they will neutralize us, they can take all the kibbutz under
attack. Not just that, in our kibbutz, the first response squad, they have the weapons at home. There was kibbutzes that the weapons was concentrated in one house, and we had to go to this house and then give the weapons to the warriors, okay? In our kibbutz, it was not like that. All the warriors had their weapons and the equipment and the radio at home. So when we was calling them to go to come out, there was warriors from the first second.
Okay, there were seven of you.
Yes, there were seven of us.
Against 50 or 60 or more.
Yeah, about 80 terrorists that penetrated to our kibbutz. Finally, at the end, we count 48 terrorists that bodies that we took out. We were seven with Arel, who's the in charge for the security team. He's the commander. We had a very tough battle or fight, and we make the difference. We were very low, very small, without the very good weapon that the Hamas terrorists came with, the RPG and the hand grenade gun. And I think Arel made a very good job to save our kibbutz.
You did an amazing job, seven of you, against 80 terrorists, approximately 80 terrorists then, with RPGs, automatic weapons, and hand grenades. And they were in the act of committing murders and kidnappings, and you intercepted them, the seven of you. I can't imagine the odds that you were facing, and you took out 40, about 48 of them, you said.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, we took less than 48. The army that came to support us and to fight beside us, it took the most, of course, because they had better training, better weapons. They had grenades. So when the army came, most of the fight finished in 1.5 hour. We were standing alone for 5 hours.
Yeah, tell us a bit about the fight that you were engaged in. Share with my listeners across Canada a bit about how you took on the terrorists for 5 hours alone. What were you doing? How did you manage that?
I want to say to the people of Canada and to the people of the world that what we was doing is protecting our house, protecting our family. And that was what drives us to win, to keep them the same place that they are. We didn't beat them. We just delayed them enough time so the army can come and solve the problem. But still, we was seven people against something like 80 or 100 terrorists. And what was the difference between us and them? Is that we couldn't, we didn't have the luxury to lose. We had to win this battle. We could not lose the battle, because if we lose the battle, the whole kibbutz will pay the price. It's, the whole family.
It's a matter of us or them. There is no question. There is no question. It's us, and we fight till the end, and we made a difference with a methodic of fighting, and they came to just to kill, to kidnap, to hostage, to rape. They didn't see by them eyes what they are really doing by kind of any methodic. They just came to kill, and we stop, we breathe a little bit, and we take chances. But calculate the chances that we must do our best to save these kibbutz. This is what we've done.
They did kill people in your kibbutz.
Yes,
they did. Yeah. They did kidnap, and Did they commit all the acts that they came to commit? It was amazing what you did to slow them down. But they did kill and they did kidnap and they did rape, right?
Yeah. Kibbutz Re'im, it's 1.5 miles south to the Nova Party. You probably hear about the Nova
You were that close.
Yeah, yeah. 1.5 miles from the Nova Party. Many celebrate people from the Nova Party arrive to Kibbutz Re'im to get a shelter. They thought that they will be safe in our kibbutz. Unfortunately, many of them were killed in our kibbutz. We lost a lot of kibbutz members. We lost a lot of citizens who came to hide in Kibbutz Re'im. And as well, we have a lot of loss of soldiers and police officers and policemen that came to fight with us, unfortunately.
I understand that these terrorists killed parents in front of their little children.
Yes, there was one incident where the terrorists actually they got into a neighborhood which we was not controlled, and they killed 81 woman in her bed that she couldn't close the door of the shelter. They get into her house,
right.
They killed her in cold blood.
Oh my God.
And they continue to the next house.
It was a house with a father and his girlfriend and two children, 10 years old and 8 years old. The Hamas goes to this house. The father fight with them. He was by his hands, and the terrorists came with the Kalashnikov rifle. And much more than Kalashnikov. He fight until they murder him and his girlfriend. And they took a lipsticks and they wrote, the terrorists, yes, they wrote on the wall, the Hamas not murder children. Those two children had to stay at this house for 8 hours. Until someone will go inside to take them to a safe place. I had to take a very cold decision to leave them over there because the house is already dirty and there is bodies. If one of the Hamas terrorists will came again, he will see that there is bodies, so he will not look for anyone else. And if the children will go out with someone, they will be like ducks in a range. It will be unsafe, and probably they will murder by the Hamas who were in the fields all over the kibbutz.
That's horrific. Did you think you would die?
We didn't think about it. We thought about the kibbutz members, the celebrate people who came to our kibbutz to hide from the Hamas. We had no time to think if we were alive or dead and something like that.
Actually, I had one time that I thought that I'm going to die. And that was, I was trying to rescue a weapon. It was in a house that they burned till the ground. And I knew that there is a weapon inside a safe that I can get and to fight with him. I went into this house. My feet got stuck in something and I fell on my hand. I burned badly my hand, but I succeeded to escape there. To escape the house, and I kept fight. We cannot stop and treat ourselves. We have to fight and to protect the rest of the kibbutz.
You know, in this, at that time, we are full of adrenaline, so you don't feel pain, you don't feel fear. You had to do what you learned to do.
Yeah. How many members of your kibbutz survived? Do you know?
Survived or die? I can say how many die. Yeah. Our kibbutz member, five were die, but we have another tens of people that came to fight with us. People who came from the party to hide themselves in our kibbutz. So we had a few tens of people who were dying in our kibbutz.
I believe that something around 20, all in all, soldiers, officers, and of course the members of the kibbutz, and even the rescue, the refugees from the party. I believe that all in all, it's something like 20.
I think it's much more because in front of our kibbutz, nearby the bus station, there is a bomb shelter where filled up with 17 celebrating from the Nova party. And the Hamas arrived there with two hand grenades. They drop inside and they murder all of them. All the 17 guys who were hiding in this bomb shelter.
Yeah, so horrific. You are really heroes. You probably don't want to hear that, but you are. I've seen photographs of your kibbutz after the attack by Hamas. Yeah. And the damage they did, the horrors they inflicted are extremely difficult to look at. So may I ask you how you both are now, a month later? How are you both after this horror, after the adrenaline has been is no longer present? How are you both?
It's understatement to say that it's awful. It's you know, there is no words to describe what going on in our kibbutz now. It's completely neighborhood was burned down. We have houses that collapse. In other neighborhood, we have a few houses that burn down to the ground. You can walk on a hash, not more than not other thing ash of the fire. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, the feeling to see the kibbutz. After October the 7th, when we have a lot of peace places with the green trees and green grass and flowers all over, because kibbutz, it's kind of a big agriculture family. Mm-hmm. And everything is green, everywhere is green, it's very beautiful. Now you see black, you see destroyed houses. You see the tanks scratch on the way. It's very frustrating.
I want to add to what Ilan says, that except the property, the damage, which there is a lot of property, the damage, I think that the most damage is to the people. They're now hard to believe. Their faith is very low. We are not believing in our neighbors, which they betrayed us. After we took care, we tried to take care of them and to give them opportunity to earn money and give them our clothes. And even send money to Gaza for medical treatment. We was driving them to a hospital in Israel, hospitals in Israel. And all that become traders on the map that came in with the Hamas into the kibbutz. They said and they marked where is everybody lives, where is the most important thing to take care of first. And that's the most damage, I think, that we really believed that we can find a path and a peaceful way to live.
You know, unfortunately, I do not believe that there will be peace with the Palestinians as long as the Hamas or any other government authority that legitimately and officially represent them does not recognize the existence of the state of Israel. In this case, I think we should separate. They will live them life. We are live our life. And let's see if other countries around the world will help them or support them or treat them by health to support them with jobs, with decent salary. I think no other country around the world humanitarian than Israel.
I will concentrate what Ilan says. They have brothers around all Israel. They have Syria, they have Jordan, they have Lebanon, they have Egypt. All these brothers, the Muslims' brothers, why don't they take care of them and make them live in honor and let them a place of honor? These Palestinians in Israel, in Gaza, and in the West Bank, and in Israel itself, they are living the most respectably life that all the countries around us can suggest them.
Yeah. So, I mean, you lost kibbutz members who were murdered. There were kidnappings that took place. You saved kids. You saved lives in your kibbutz. So, and you've just explained to us the emotions that you feel now, 4 weeks and a day later. When you both see demonstrations in some parts of the world during which Hamas and their attack is praised and Israel is condemned, and the calls are... Sorry?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I must stop and say, in one hand, it's very funny, and the other hand, it's frustrating and make me nervous because I see a demonstration pro-Palestinian that they ask ceasefire. Tell me, where is the Red Cross to see our hostages? None. We don't know what's going on with our hostages. They want ceasefire. Why to let them have ceasefire so they will arm them Hamas member again? Why Israel government support and let humanitarian convoy to go into the Gaza Strip? You think it's fair? No, it's not fair. It's not fair. And we are doing our best to keep innocent life. But there is no, I think, in my opinion, it should not be a ceasefire now. We need to finish the war. The equation is no Hamas without Hamas. The Hamas cannot stay over there, period. There are Nazis, terrorists, Hamas member. There is no other defining for those terrorists. We try our best to let the Palestinian live a very decent life. We try our best not to act against any bullet that cross the fence, not only any launch missile that cross the fence, but enough is enough. I think it's chutzpah. You know what is it, chutzpah?
I do. I do know what it is.
So it's absolutely chutzpah to ask for ceasefire after their murder. They raped, they hostage so many Jewish people. And now the Palestinian, the pro-Palestinian all over, even though in Toronto, that they had today demonstration, pro-Palestinian demonstration. What kind of ceasefire they want? They want to kill us and then to ask for ceasefire? If you are a man and you want to fight, so fight a fair fight. Don't stand behind little children. It's unbelievable. Yeah, you know, you cannot behave like a strong guy and then to crawl like a little child, to be behind children, schools, kindergarten, and to launch missiles from schools, from UNRWA. So what kind of ceasefire are you asking? What is the meaning of ceasefire? What is the meaning of the pro-Palestinian who demonstrate against us? They should come to the Gaza Strip to live over there, to see with whom they are dealing, because the Hamas, it's not a human being.
You know what they did?
That they've done to the Israeli citizen, I think it's the most horrible thing ever happened to the Jewish people.
I want to say another thing, is that the demonstration and the support of the people that are not involved in this conflict, because it's very very fun to come and be a part of a demonstration which you don't have any part of it, because it's like a festival.
Gentlemen, I want to say something to you based on what you've just said over the last few minutes. You do know that there are millions and millions of people in the world who support Israel. There are millions and millions of people in the world find what happened on October the 7th to be abhorrent, to be so abysmally cruel as to defy description. There are millions of people in the world who never want to see this happen again. You do have a great deal of international support. Israel does. You does. You do. You are heroes. You stood with your members of your kibbutz. You didn't back away. You didn't let them just murder and rape and kidnap. You fought them. You fought them for 5 hours, seven men alone, fighting against 80 to 100 terrorists with Kalashnikovs, with RPGs, with grenades. You fought them. You saved lives. You are the example for the rest of us.
I want to say something else, something for closure. At this point of time, it's our fight. We are fighting the Hamas. The Hamas is not the only radical Islam organization in the world. And if we won't say stop to these radical Islamic organizations, today it's Israel, tomorrow it's Europe, the day afterwards it's North America. This is how it works. It's like cancer. You let it grow, you cannot control the growth. It grow and grow and grow till it's killed the hostage.
Yeah. I'm so very, very sorry, but we have used up our time. We are out of time. Mr. Cohen, Mr. Oren, thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you for speaking with us in Canada. I can't thank you enough, but all I can say is thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. It was our pleasure to be in your show. Thank you.
It's something that we have to, we are holding the torch.
Okay.
We have to give a torch away.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.